now, okay?
Me too.
All right. So this artist offers a unique musical experience by showcasing diverse talent and blending multiple genres. Sure, the artist has an awesome logo, but the work offers creatives an opportunity to express a vision. Let's welcome the world of Pandasonic.
Heyo. That was good.
Do you want us to call you Panda, Pandasonic, or Adam?
Yeah, that's a good thing to know.
They're kind of interchangeable right now until I kind of, there's a storyline that's kind of coming up, creating lore, where A.O. Stark, which is my kind of like rap persona or my vocal persona, and Pandasonic is kind of the helmet. So there's a little storyline where I've invented that Pandasonic actually kills A.O. Stark and Pandasonic just becomes the brand logo behind it, and then A.O. Stark is kind of just like this side character.
All right.
So yeah, okay. Either
sounds
works
like a
right
sci-fi
now.
Show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I dig it.
We're creating lore.
Yes.
Let it slide off like you were possessed or like you're a snake and you're just peeling back the layers.
Yes. Right, I think it'll be fun to like do like a zombie type thing after A.O. Stark dies.
That would be fun. Can I ask the first question?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just messing with you because I'm exhausted. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. It's fine.
I ain't got nothing.
I'm going. I'm going to go change diapers. See you later.
Bye.
Okay. So your website uses technical terms like projects, initiatives, subdomains. How profound is the technical aspect of the collective?
It's starting out pretty slow right now, but the idea behind it is kind of the growth into like VR. It's like VR experiences. The projects have to do with like really creating experience, because especially what happened in like 2020, where everything got shut down and everything was, you know, nobody was going to parties. Like pretty much anybody who is DJing or doing that type of stuff either had no gigs whatsoever or just started going online, and watching somebody on like a two-dimensional screen was, you know, sure, that's fun, but it's just, you know, it's like watching, you know, Coachella on the television, like, yay, you know, kind of fun, but you're not in the experience. And so wanting to create and dive into a world to where, VR and VR headsets, like what Meta's come out with, and just Vive, all of those types of things that are becoming more prominent in the scene, of just being able to create an actual 3D experience or a more interactive experience, more than even I thought Deadmau5 had actually stolen my idea, or, you know, lots of people are working on this, not just my idea. Mm-hmm. But then I saw what he did, and in the space that they did it, it was just like he did the same thing. Everybody was in a 3D world with their avatars and whatnot, and then he was on a two-dimensional card DJing from his living room or wherever it was. And so it was like the same experience. I think it would be better to go bigger with that. And that's kind of the technologies behind it that kind of is really driving that.
So how close are you to like really pushing out alive and getting ahead of everyone and getting extremely rich?
I don't know if DJs get rich, man. I mean, there are a few.
But it's like,
it's far and few between. But
right.
I think the experience, I think with some of the stuff that I'm working on right now, I'm hoping that within the next like 12 months, I can get something at least test worthy and viable to see if it actually catches traction on there. Most of it comes down to just creating the world is actually the easy part. Creating the interactions is going to be kind of the hard part, because we can just be up on stage and or create this experience inside of it. But then to be able to create what I mean by interactive is things like the Oculus Quest 2 allows, you know, you have those hand controllers, and so you can interact with things around the world. So being able to create visuals, or being able to create something that goes on in the world itself, or seeing the DJ create all these things around there and being able to play with it yourself in a more interactive way, I think is something that I haven't personally seen yet. And of course,
that's awesome.
People are going to be jumping on it, and I think other people are trying too, but it's one of those things that I'm really wanting to push for because, you know, I'm an old rave head, so I know how fun it is to just like really play with the lights, play with the you know, have the sound, have all of that experience all wrapped in the one.
How long have you been DJing?
Since 2006, I think. Okay. I think is when I first like got on my first decks and actually like started playing shows, is when I first started. And then everything went digital too. So
yeah, wasn't that fun? I got like my first actual turntables and spent all this money on vinyl. And then it was like 5 years later, it was like, oh, everything's CDs and MP3 now. And I was like, well, that's $4,000. I'll never get back.
Yep, exactly.
Those techniques are expensive.
They are, even still nowadays, mm-hmm. They're still very expensive.
And they're harder to get.
Yeah. What is it? The, not Elgato, it's the, I forget what it's called, but it allows you to play MP3s with the digital mm-hmm. records and whatnot. Like, I love those because the old tech or either the new techniques, the Mark 12s or whatever they were, the nice big old black ones. Oh, so juicy.
So satisfying to like touch them and then like slow the record down. I miss that.
Better than any CDJ ever. Yeah.
That I like when I mix MP3s because it almost feels... like I have the instant gratification of you touch like the little deck and it stops the MP3 on a dime.
Yeah.
And I feel like with CDs and stuff and a lot of other electronic decks, they don't do that. And so it feels like I'm mixing on Techniques. But then I went to like a Guitar Center and was playing with some Techniques and I was like, I miss you, baby.
Yes.
I love you so much.
Yep.
Don't you want to come home with me?
Yeah.
The Guitar Center dudes are like, what the fuck?
Like, you don't understand, man. You get to play with these all the time. Simple I can't things. Wait. One of these days I'm going to get a set of Techniques again.
I got really excited. I went to a secondhand store down the street from my house that I try to avoid. Because I end up spending like $200 every time I go in there. And I don't have that. I don't have that money.
I have that store too.
And they had one Technique turntable. And I have never ran a piece of musical equipment to like a salesperson. Was like, plug it in, plug it in, plug it in, plug it in. Plug it in. I need it to work. And the motor was broken.
It's that fix. I just need my vinyl fix. Come on.
I've got like... three things of vinyl I can't play. It makes me, I can play it, but I can't mix it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I went off on a tangent. I apologize.
I still got a box somewhere full of records that I'm just like, they're just there. They're just sitting there.
I know. It feels like waste. And I absolutely refuse to get rid of them. Yeah. Poor Brent. He's fully fucking zoning out. He's like, nah. Like, you've never been to a secondhand store and found something cool. Musically,
guitar, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. But
yeah, same. It's the same idea.
I don't go looking for turntables.
Anymore. I wasn't looking. I was actually looking for an amp, but it was there.
They just pop up.
You know what, Ronell? That's the difference between me and you. When I go in, it's a precise action.
Oh, I enjoy just shopping.
There's
around.
An objective. It's no, there's no. no looking. It's going straight to what you want. Talking them down and walking out.
Is that how you don't spend money? Because I think that's what happens to me. Because I go in there and I'm like, oh, look at that one. That's so pretty. And like, I walk around.
I gave up on budgets.
Right. I'm like, I was, the last time I was in there, I was standing at the banjos going, that's a cool instrument. I bet that's really hard to play. I should get one.
That's exactly how I ended up with my mandolin.
That's how I ended up with my ukulele. And I did have the opportunity of walking through my door and being like, Percy, wouldn't you like to learn to play the ukulele to like justify my purchase? And my daughter was like, I don't like it. It sounds too happy.
I want that dark sound.
Have y'all seen the memes about musician goes in and buys something and then it's Freddie Mercury going, it's too late. My time has come.
Yes.
That's great.
I love those. They kill me. Other than the Arnold Schwarzenegger ones.
Oh my God.
Arnold Schwarzenegger singing Whitney Houston is the greatest thing ever.
It is pretty fucking funny. So tell us who some of your influences are.
Well, as I mentioned before, kind of Deadmau5, obviously the helmet, the panda helmet type thing is kind of influenced from that. And more of the anonymity. I don't know if, you know, Joel's thing is anonymity for it. I think it was it's also a marketing thing of just like having a brand, having something behind it. But kind of that idea also influenced by, you know, that house kind of sound is always
the
kind of there.
Yeah,
it's kind of always there. Skrillex was kind of one of a big one. Back in the day, Banga, I always forget the other guy, Rusko. Rusko was a huge influence coming from like that mixture of like old school dubstep and bringing like the genres of like drum and bass into it, which, you know, Bass Nectar before all the bullshit, even Aphex Twins, though I don't do a lot of IDM. But I really enjoy that was one of the first electronic music artists that I had ever actually heard, besides maybe whatever ended up on Radio Disney when I was a child in Georgia. No, I take that back. There was Eiffel 65, the Blue Abadi Abadai song. That's definitely like a techno-y song or a housey song or something. So that's probably the first one. But when I was in high school, I think Aphex Twins was one of the first ones that I ended up getting into. And that stuff kind of just like made my little brain happy. I've got a lot of pop influences too, where for when it goes into my vocal stuff, like Justin Timberlake, Timberland, like hip hop stuff too. Timberland's been one of my favorite artists, along with T-Pain, of just like being really good at like making beats and just like especially T-Pain generally being like a pretty cool fellow, and like him coming from where in that same way of what I've been trying to do my entire life, of just like back when I was first starting, like to try and get into a recording studio, like we had a recording studio that was just open to like, it was like a community recording studio that was one guy, Bob, ran, and we got to come, I got to go in there every once in a while, but that's the only way that you could really do that back in the day. Even with stuff like Acid Pro was out there for a while for like making music, but it was very limited at the time. But then everything came down and you still had desktops, like laptops were ginormous. They couldn't run anything. You were doing that all on your desktop at home. And then, you know, things like Pro Tools and Logic started coming out and things like that. And T-Pain made it from a laptop. Like he was one of those first few artists that was just like, I don't know how to sing, so I'm going to use autotune, which he actually has a great voice. But
yeah,
like
what
now,
the hell was that? That recent release? I was like, why were you hiding that?
So good. Jesus. Like so good. And but he just made beats, did his own stuff and released albums from a laptop. And that was unheard of in that time. Like, so, you know, that kind of rise of the rise of the falling of the, you know, big music like studios and whatnot. Artie from, Artie Walls coming from that as well is a big proponent of that. Of he's been writing the top number one for a real good while now, or at least was. And he did it again from at home, from a laptop, from a computer, like. And it takes the record companies out of there. It's really cool. So people like that who have really made those moves and those pushes to make those things possible are some of my biggest influences.
And how did you and Artie start making, like, collaborating together?
it was funny because my partner had found him on TikTok and we were just listening to some of his music. And I think we were driving down to Portland one day, and I was just like, I can hear some stuff in there. Just like, I wonder if he'd be interested in just like a little bit of help with like some mastering on it, because I love doing mixing and mastering on people's stuff, and just to add that little extra bit to it. And he was. I think he was on a live once, and she had been watching some of his lives, and I think it was like 4 days later, she was just like, he's live. There's only like 12 people in there right now. Just go ask him if you can like do a remix of something like that. And so I just went on there. I just typed in, can I do a remix of it? And apparently he was just about to start doing, you know, handing out things for a remix. And he said, you have 3 weeks to give me a remix. And I was like, bet, I'll do it in one. I didn't say that, but in my head, I'm like, I'll do it in one. And the very next, I think it was either Friday or Sunday, like the very next week, I just polished it. I immediately sent it. I didn't even know he was online. I walk over and my partner's watching it again or watching the live again. And as soon as I walk over them, oh, he's live. And she's like, oh, I just got an email from this person with the remix. And he listens to it right there.
Oh, he and listened he on his live?
He listened to it on his live.
Oh,
and
did
just,
your heart fall into your balls?
I panicked. Like, yeah. I literally went and grabbed a shot. I, like, poured a glass.
Absolutely.
I'm just like, I was, like, shaking. I'm just like, oh, no, what's the reaction? And he just downright loved it. Like, the look on his face, the pure shock of just like, holy crap, this is good. And I was like, no, this is not happening. So that's kind of happened. And he, like, right then and there, he's like, we're putting this out. And he literally right then and there put it out on there. He says, this is coming out in a week's time. We signed the deals for it. And we've been like talking and working on collaborations and even in the little arty universe, we've just been kind of working all together to work on stuff. So it was a great opportunity to run into him like that.
Let's talk about Get Some. That
one has been the name has been something that I wanted to create a song for since 2016. And when I started first making the helmet and I made my, I figured out the logo, like Panasonic's been around since, 2009, I think 2010 is when I first like came up with the idea. But then I really started, like, I had already designed a helmet that traveled with me for a while. I had been making music for a good long while there, but never really, like, it was only images of stuff. I never really, like, had the helmet or played out with that because that idea came later on. But I had, like, prototypes along the way of just, like, oh, I think I want to do this. I think I want to do this. And I made my first one where I was just like the VR headspace. I had the original Oculus and I was like trying to figure out how to put that thing inside of a helmet. And that's why the first one was so bulbous. It was like 16 or 17 inches diameter. And I brought it down to 14 inches. But around that time, I ended up doing my own screen printing for T-shirts and like little patches for my Panasonic logo. And for some reason, I just wanted hashtag get some. And so I put that on the side of my T-shirt. So I'd have like the logo up here. And then on the side, there would just be hashtag get some. And I just wanted to kind of rule that hashtag for a while. And later on, I ended up learning about Fiverr and working with artists on there. And Luchi Damas, the guy who does the first and the third verse on that, I ended up working with him for another track. I don't know if I've actually released that one or not, but I worked with him on a couple of tracks and then just came up with that one. I just wrote down him. I said, it has to say get some somewhere in there. Like just it has to do with that. And he ended up writing like two really good verses. Actually, that might have been the first song that I worked on with. It just took me like 3 years to release it. I think that was what it was. I just kind of wrote the idea down of just like, it's Panasonic and why it's Panasonic Collective now is because Panasonic's the brand. Panasonic is the facehead of it, but Panasonic Collective is I'm wanting to not just have a label, but bring a community together, a collective together, of people that want to work on music and technologies and all this stuff. And so the idea of the song was kind of that that idea of I hate to quote Drake, but we started from the bottom, now we're here. And it's the idea of bringing your whole crew together and we all rise together, like we're all starting from down here. And let's work our way up. And it's like when one of us go up, the rest of us go up, like let's bring each other up together. And so that was whole. Let's get some. Let's like it's hashtag get some.
I loved the intro. I thought the intro was really fun. Both vocalists have a great flows, I think, and so anyway. And then, yeah. And the only reason I'm able to comment better on this stuff is because of Uncle Artie. Good song branding on the chorus. It's catchy. I mean,
very
you just
hook.
Brand the shit out of that. And I was just like, what's the discussion like when you're working out arrangements and instrumental plans with artists? So, for example, when I was listening to this, about three quarters of the way through, a little bit before the outro, I would be like, oh my God, if they added strings to this, it would be amazing. How do you negotiate that stuff? That's the great thing about co-writing or just having a soundboard. You can go,
yeah,
let's do this. Let's not do that. Definitely. Like my producer goes, do not ever do that again. But I think that needs to happen. I mean, you have you have to be able to accept feedback, first of all. But the second thing is you have to want that exchange a lot and believe that, okay, us arguing about this or discussing this or spitting at each other about it is going to get us a better project. So how do you do that?
I would say like a lot of the music myself comes from, unfortunately, myself, because I've run into a lot of people that don't like to argue about that type of stuff or spit back and forth about it. I love doing that because it breeds creativity of just like, I want to say, you know, let's do this and someone else is going to like come back with it or like kind of go back and forth with it. For the longest time, nobody ever really wanted to go back and forth with that, like creativity. It's like I've met some people here and there, but ultimately, like, it was really hard to work with certain people just because of I guess it was just because of the unbudgingness of certain of the nature of that of not wanting to try new things or wanting to try that. And even for myself, like I definitely have run into those at a younger time. I think with what happened with a lot of this stuff is with the Fiverr stuff, you know, ultimately I was paying for that type of stuff. So they would do whatever I wanted to. But what I really liked doing on both the songs, especially Not Alone and hashtag Get Some, is I told the artist, here's what I'm feeling. I created the track. Not Alone, I created the track after it. With Get Some, I had created the track and then gave that to him. And I'm like, here's the feeling. And to be honest, Luchi Damas nails it. I love working with him because when he writes, the only things that I've changed are like a couple of words here and there and or inflections. Like on hashtag Get Some, I think right before the first chorus, I was just like, do it. Just give me a little bit of this inflection. And he had to do it a couple of times before I'm like, no, that's it right there. Because I really like directing people in that way, too. It's just like I hear the sound like in my head. And even working with one of the other guys in the Artiverse of CJ, him and I will go back and forth of just like, I can do synthesizers like crazy, but he does guitars and like other stuff, and just he can do this amazingly. And so when working with him, I'd just be like, he diddle on something right there, and then I'd be like, oh, what about if we do this? I'm like, you know, the bit bit bit, something. We'd add those things, or I'd just say those sounds, and he'd be like, I think I know what you mean on that. And then he'd do that, and I'm like, that, yes, that's the word, or that's the thing right there. And just, I don't know. I hear it. I see it. Synesthesic. I'm a bit of a synesthesic, to where I see sound. When I close my eyes, I see sound. It's in like different colors and threads. And so if something doesn't
Brent's
look.
Brent's shaking his head no, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
You're so lucky to have that gift.
It is so fun. It's like having your own little acid trip. Like you can just put on headphones and close your eyes and you are somewhere else. Yeah, and sometimes it almost turns into like a fucking Fantasia type of, it's crazy.
It's really, it's like, I hate when it's not there too, because sometimes it comes and goes. But one of my lucky gifts there, just because decoding that and or putting that back into like the music itself, of being able to see it ahead of time and or hearing it ahead of time, to be able to be like, I know when that sound is not right, or I like, and I will That's probably one of the reasons.
Like, this song why is this note fucking neon purple? Like, it's almost there. And it's weird. It's weird because I didn't know there was a name for that until it was Sound Animal.
Yeah.
Because I was like, dude, I'm a freak. I can't read music. I suck at playing guitars, but I can hear what I want in my head and I can see it. And she was like, oh, this is called this. And I was like, what the fuck? That's a thing?
So, you know, y'all are talking about something. What I think is really funny is when you're the only one, you've talked to other people and no one else knows what you're talking about. And you're going, it's right there.
Yes.
Right there. But 3 seconds, that part sucks. How can we fix it? Because like right now with my producer, I'm like, dude, the last part, the last section of the first verse, and then the second part of the first verse, there's something wrong, something not right. I don't believe it. And I go, and it's how I'm singing it. And so he was like, you're just fucking nuts. So I go in there and I start singing it. And he's like, okay, I think I know what you're talking about. Sing it again. And so we kept going. And by the end, he understood what I was trying to do. But before that, he was like, he goes, you're in key. Your tone's good, but it's funny how sometimes people pick up on exactly what you're doing. And then sometimes the brightest people in the world cannot hear what you're hearing. And I'm kind of like Ranelle, except I don't have the color vision because I'd listen to music probably differently than all y'all people that see color. But
there's not, you know, it's weird. Aside from you, Panasonic, I've only ever met one other person.
Sound Animal sees.
Two.
And I bet Artie does.
In 41 years, two people. And it makes it weird because they're like, can you tell me which note? And I'm like, not, I can, but I can't, man. You're
like, the red note. The red one.
They're like, the E, G, which note?
Keep hitting them all till it looks right.
And you're running to a piano and you're like, ding, 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 this one.
Yeah.
This one.
Oh, 100%.
They're like, which one is it? I don't know. It's this one.
You know what? If you shouted out a color to me, I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I've stopped trying to work with people because I'm like, there's no way.
The frequency, it's like a weird frequency range for me when I see them. Again, it's like I keep seeing strings, almost like string theory is described, where it's just like these vibrating strings of stuff. And green, for me, green is always bass, like low end green for some reason. And I don't know why green, because if you think about even the spectrum of light, like red's low, but in my brain, bass is green. And like red's kind of up here on the other spectrum, or it's in the middle like areas. I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe that's why you do have that tool, because you do see things differently. I mean,
it's helpful with DJing.
I can see how it would be.
Not only feels like this, but it looks like this in here. So I need this one to have harmonize. It's not just what you hear, it's what you see in your well, kind of crazy fucking head, man.
You just made me think. I remember the name. Serato is the one where they have the digital records, and the way they show music when you see the sound waves. Serato is really cool because it's the digital records, and it's perfect matching for like using actual feel of records on techniques or whatever record turntables you have, but in Serato, the way they map the sound frequencies allows you to not only see like where like your main kicks are like or on like a sound wave of where you'd actually see it in the thing, but they also colorize it. Tractor does it too.
Yeah.
And it's the way they colorize it is really cool because it's almost that same type of thing, because not only can you match with the seeing of the sound, like the sound wave itself, so you can see where a kick is and match those up, but even the intensity, or I don't know how they actually do the colorization of it, but
no,
it allows you to still see that. So if they're kind of in those same areas, you can go, oh, those are going to match. You almost feel like you could all gone Pete Tong and do it like completely deaf, like you could just see the sound waves and
just
the colorization
hit the sync
of
button and you're like, yeah, when the colors change, they go together. That's all I have to do.
Panasonic, Luchadonis,
Ayo Star,
huh? I do it for the team. Panasonic, Lucci, Domus, dropping bass, that's pandemonium. Iconic, sipping gin and tonic, waiting for the dough to come. I've been about that action, shooting rockets, make the soldiers run. It's only fun, come walk across the water with the holy one. It's no big deal to a boss, boy. You ain't talking money, get lost, boy. Fresh new kicks and a new whip with this new drip, that's floss, boy. In a penthouse, presidential, yeah, we got that sauce, boy. Got yo chick and her two friends, and we turned them cell phones off, boy. Get some, with my squad we on it, yeah. Get some, I'm living for the moment. Get some, with my squad we on it, yeah. Get some, I'm living for the moment. Get some, we stacking money, homie. Get some,
living for the moment. Hitting up the scene with an unstoppable force. Ain't no time or place to be feeling the remorse. We grinding on the daily success, we never failing. You wish we were behaving, but we know y'all just be hating. Can't contain the energy, you know we wild. Shaking up the house, yeah, we be doing it style. We living like the Jets, no futuristic. We be flexing on the rise, now no more questions, no excuses while we get some.
Get some, with my squad we on it, yeah. Get some, we living for the moment. Get some, with my squad we on it, yeah. Get some, we living for the moment. Get some, yeah. We stacking money, homie. Get some, yeah. We living for the moment. With it. We don't just talk lifestyle, we live it. We don't just talk big money, we get it. Just watching the game, we in it. Yes, I'm in it. 3-point shot from the half court line in the clutch, I win it. Everybody jump. The crowd get pumped, but you're wrong if you think I'm finished. All night long, getting turned up. Hands in the air, get lit. Too much swag, that surplus. You can never match my fit, yeah. You can never find my crib. Nope, my mansion is off of the grid. So talk slick, then it's off. Put your head. All this cash don't make no sense. Get some. With my squad, we on it. Yeah, get some. We living for the moment. Get some, with my squad we on it, yeah. Get some, we living for the moment. Get some, yeah. We stacking money, homie. Get some, yeah. We living for the moment.
You know, we're being where we are in the music like era, which where everything is digital right now, is even though, you know, we love doing, you know, spinning records or being able to actually DJ, what our technology has done for us now is, you know, there used to be a lot of haters that people that used Ableton, you're just pressing buttons, like you're not really doing anything. It's just like,
and you know what? I was sort of guilty of that at first.
Same.
Because I think I'm just guessing, I'm a little bit older than you, probably.
2 years. Well,
oh, that's it?
Year and a half, 2 years, depends on when your birthday is.
So when
certainly it has to be more than that. Certainly she has to be way older.
I'm turning 40 next March.
Oh, yeah. So when I started, we didn't have the electronic option. We had a rainbow mixer. If you had money, you had a rainbow mixer. Most of us didn't. Most of us were mixing on techniques that were borrowed from friends found on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And probably a Newmark mixer. Newmark, and your friends made I had Newmark turntables. Yeah. And my friends gave me such shit. But I was like, hey, they fucking work and they're better than, oh my God, what the Gemini mixers or the Gemini turntables were awful. Like,
all the belt driven ones.
Newmark and Techniques were the only ones who were direct drive for a long time. Yep. And poor Brent's just totally zoning out. And I still do this. I still have an old school radio with a tape deck because when I did it, and I still think it sounds good, I like to mix that, hit that record button. I can record it directly into my computer, but I still like the tapes.
Yeah.
I refuse to let go.
That is actually something that I want to get a real one, but one of the things that I will always do when mastering, at least for my stuff, is I always put a tape on there. Like I always run it through a tape effect because I love the, even though it's digital right now, it's not perfect, but I would love to get an actual tape setup. Even with the digital effect on there, I for some reason have to have that on there because I just love the way that sounds. Like there's just something about that sound that just makes it
same with vinyl. It crispy. Just sounds better. Yeah. Just love it.
Yeah, there's a texture to vinyl, to tape, to CD, and all of them, and digital even has its own texture too. Yeah. They all have textures. You just have to listen for it.
Yeah.
You know? But I love the sound of records. Just when they're playing the and then the scratch of the needle.
Yes.
And the bumps of it.
Oh my God, come on.
Yeah.
It's
satisfying.
It really is. There's something. What's the word? Not primal, but like, I don't know. It's something that just like, it feels like it's built in. I don't even know where that would come from. Like
It's almost like a nostalgic thing.
Yeah.
Or a base of your skull.
You can nostalgia. Feel it.
Yeah.
It's or what like. I don't get ASMR. I honestly hate ASMR. Like, but that sound, that crispiness sound, is like what I feel people that like ASMR feel. Like it's like tingly. It just gives you a little like I don't know.
If the end of a record where it's making those crinkly sounds and it's going bump bump, that is the only ASMR I ever fucking want.
Yeah.
The rest of it gets on my nerves, but I can like, I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Yep.
Wow. We are awesome. We are such fucking nerds. Let's talk about.
The fact that you were just like when I say belt drive and you're like direct drives are better and you know that, like, I don't know many other people that like in a long time
really nerd out for a second. Do you remember how we used to get to raves?
You mean like by word of mouth or by text, like last minute?
No, like you'd go to the vinyl store and they'd have like the little flyers that where everybody was playing, and you'd get the flyer. It was like a card. It was cool. You kept it in your scrapbook, whatever. Yeah. And then you'd go to this a meeting place and they would tell you where the next place was you could go. It was like a fucking scavenger hunt.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really, and as annoying as it was, the reason they did that was because raves were not legal.
Yeah.
Like ever. So they're trying to get you to a warehouse without the world knowing that there's like 400 fucking people at a warehouse.
Right.
High as hell.
We did. What was Shit Match, a breakcore DJ. It was Shit Match and Excision. We're playing in Portland and Seattle. And when they played at an actual club in Seattle and we followed them. We were living down in Ashland, Oregon. We drove all the way from Ashland.
Shut up, I lived in Medford.
No shit.
Yeah, for like years.
No way. That's where my brother lives right now. I went through there. I was down there for 11 years.
I left there to come here like a fucking idiot.
We drove from Ashland, Oregon to Portland, and they were doing it was probably like a 100-person little rave under a bridge, under a railroad bridge with like a Jenny over on the side and just like this little setup with a pretty decent stack out there, but just out in the train yards, like under a bridge is where they do the rave. And then the other, yeah. Well, the other one too, up when we traveled up, we're just like, that was so good. We're going to Seattle. So we just followed them up there the next night too. And it was like you said, it was like one of those areas where we had to like, we waited in the hotel. We waited till we like had a, like one person knew where we were going.
And
we
had to make sure you peed before you left there. There was not going to be a place to pee. Bring water. And if you missed the meeting point, but you had like a general direction, you would drive. And I've done this in a vineyard in California at 3 a.m. Drive with your windows rolled down and listen for the music. And literally triangulate your going.
We would do that. We would do that for the woods.
Oh, it's bad. And in the orchards, it's terrible. So basically we're listening for music, but there's nothing but trees around you. Everything fucking looks the same.
Yep.
It was awesome. I don't know how we found it. And it was not worth it in the end, but it was fine.
We did a Mutant Fest was like that, still is like that. Once a year, it's eight to nine camps that all have sound systems, and it's all last minute. If you know where to go, and they kind of give you directions, but it's all always out on BLM land. And like same thing is once you get out there, because the directions were okay, but only kind of okay.
They were, I think, okay, only one Kevin time did it.
Yeah, there was only one time that I went that we were like, oh, here it is. Every other single time, same thing. You either showed up at night or like, because it was a week, it's a week long little like free festival, but it was like the weekend was the banging one, the week but or the days before was everybody setting up, and then you know we'd hit it hard on the weekends. But when you first drive out there, it like, especially when you get out there late at night, because everybody's getting off work and it's just like you're trying to get out there and be like, oh, I just took like 5 days off of work to come out here. You get out there into the middle of the woods and literally are getting lost in the same thing. You're rolling down windows, just
like praying for lights, some jackass will point in the wrong direction so you can find it. You don't actually want to be found that easy.
Yeah.
Because if I can find you that easy, the police can find you.
Yep.
Why don't you ask him about No Time to Waste, Brent?
So I really like the bass tone of the vocals on that one. Is that you?
Yes. Yes. Wow, that's actually how I started that song.
Sweet. The rhythm sounds are like a tick, tick, tock, which I really like too. And then after the humming, there is a cool chaining about 30 seconds into it, which is really unexpected. And so my question was, is the chaining section or sections, because there's more than one, is the chaining section old Roman or Gregorian, or what type of chant is it? Do you know the answer to that?
I don't actually. You're talking right before the monotoned like singing part at the end, that little spacer in between. Are you talking about that one or?
It's at 30 seconds. The first one's at 30 seconds.
He's like, hold on.
I actually got
it. It starts out as a hum. It's melodic humming, and then it goes into chant.
Oh, I think that's just me. If I know what you're talking about, let me pull it up real quick. So 30 seconds. Where's no time? There it is. No time to waste. Bounces. Okay. 30 seconds.
We've never had anyone look up stuff while we're on the.
I love it.
Yeah, no, that's me. That's
yeah,
just,
but what just, are you? Do you know what you're doing though?
I literally found a new synthy thing or voice modulator. I think it's actually just called modulator, and it was by Infected Mushroom. They created this cool little thing, and all I was doing was just like, and then I just kept layering it, because I didn't even do too much on it. I just liked the resonance that modulator was giving. And so I just kept layering that on top of each other and just like did a, you know, almost like a, I don't know how to throat sing, but kind of like a throat singy type thing of just like trying to, doing that. I don't know. It was one of those things that it just sounded right, so I just did it.
It did. I was like, oh my gosh. I was listening to the humming and I was like, okay, that's kind of odd. And then the chant started coming because that's what it sounded like to me. And I was like, and it's low enough in the mix.
Yeah.
That you have to like, I listen very intently when y'all send us stuff so that I don't miss anything of what y'all are trying to do if you're trying to do something special. But
the idea behind No Time to Waste was 2020 of just being locked inside with yourself, with, you know, your own thoughts, because even though a lot of people are kind of, you know, would be there with their families, like if you had families around, but even at some of those points, you'd be alone. Like most of the people, I think, were at some point just a little bit more alone than you were used to. And yeah, that's kind of where that came. It was just like that kind of like meditational, just like how are you dealing with this on the inside? How are you introspectively looking? And, you know, the rap part is also that bravado of just like, I'm fine, I'm whatever, I'm dealing with this stuff, but still like having kind of those inner conversations of stuff.
That makes the tick tick tock stuff really interesting, because I don't know, a clock on a wall is never as loud when you're waiting to do something.
Yeah.
Or waiting to get free. You can hear that.
Oh yeah.
And so that's
my high school experience.
That is very, yeah, no. So was the tick, tick, tock intentional?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good, like, good.
Yeah, there's this one too, this is part of, it wasn't originally going to be part of the Hashtag album. I was actually going to do a 2019 to 2022 album where it was just kind of like, this progression of what happened. Like the next single I'm going to be releasing is called Hashtag Rest Area 51. And it had to do, like, I don't know why, but it's just that was kind of like the weirdest kickoff thing that happened right before 2020 hit, was the, you know, what was it? Invade Area 51 or whatever it was called.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And like Naruto running and stuff like that. Just like, that song's about it. And so it was started off with that. And then this would have been the second song in there. And it was just going to be kind of that album. But I ended up going with Hashtag Get Some. And I just was like, I'm just going to release an album called Hashtag. And all the songs in it, even if I just release them one at a time, once they're all out there, I'll just do it as a single, like a full released album. But each one is just like Hashtag something going in there. And it's like one of the other songs that is out, like the first verse is out on TikTok, is Hashtag Gamer Girl. And it's just kind of going with the idea of just like, because there's been a lot of stuff lately about just gamer girls getting a lot of flack from just fucking pieces of shit out there.
Right.
Just like, fuck you. Like they're becoming, like they're making their own way. They're like carving their own paths now. And like the bravado, or the, I wouldn't say bravado, the arrogance,
the audacity.
Like, I think it's just shit. And so I thought like trying to create like an anthem song behind that was that. And that's kind of like what spawned the, oh, I should do a Hashtag album. And so I'm taking all the songs that I was working on during that period of time, and just kind of bringing them into a new storyline. It's 2023 now, and that kind of like storyline from 2019 to 2022, I kind of waited too long. I ended up getting COVID last year, about the time that I was going to try and release it, and also just fell into kind of a big depression around that time too. That kind of was like that kickoff of, again, coming back to Artie on that, like kind of snapped me out of it, because after that I just felt like I had lost all momentum for that. So I was just like, yeah, okay, let's just drop that idea for now. We'll still use some of the songs and or revisit some of those songs later on, but that album idea kind of fell away, and this is the first one from that album that would have been, and I thought it was probably the most impactful one that I wanted to release right now.
I sit recalling, what does it all mean? These hits just falling, what does it all mean? I dedicate this award to me, it was all me. I can
figure out life in the morning. Tonight, let's party. I throw such lifeless parties, and I can't pass blame, that's all me. Kinda wish I had a choice, but I'm here by force. Now these old walls, they taunt me. So I gotta take life by the wheels in the backseat. Gonna throw my hands up when I can't see. You can see me all alone when I'm trashy. Gonna try and make it home all in one piece.
End of the song, I'll be long gone. And instead, take a rip from a long bong. Mind racing in space in the wrong zone. Friends saying that they get it, but they don't though. No more lifelines on the rowboat. Took a minute to get it, but I'm a slowpoke. And that light in my mind like a diamond. Took a minute for me to get the glow though.
I'm searching, still searching. I'm searching, trying to find a way. I'm searching, still searching. I'm searching, no rest for the wicked.
Who am I when I am who I am? When I do what I do, I find a clue to find my mind. In times these thoughts get stuck like glue. That's my haiku, I hide and browse online to justify my moves. From me to you, to you to me. Is there a me without a you? I'm saying locked down. From door to door to door, they gonna shut the block down. Who wants some more? I want some more. You got it, hot rounds. Remove the friends, remove the fam. Look what you got now. Look who you got now. It's me, myself, and I.
I'm searching, still searching. I'm searching, trying to find it. I'm searching, still searching. I'm searching, on my way to find it. I'm searching, still searching. I'm searching, trying to find it. I'm searching, still searching. I'm searching, no rest for the wicked.
So let me ask you this. My question is how much are you willing to use AI in your music?
For writing, I use it all the time now as starters, because I can write if I have a seed. And I end up like rewriting more than half of the stuff now, but I'm just like, it's just like asking somebody on Fiverr. But again, I'm now that I have I did vocal lessons for a little over a year, a couple of years ago. I think it was last September, before I went out to New York for the first time. Just too much stuff came up and I can't keep doing these, but, took everything from that. And since my voice got better and I was just like, I want to do my own stuff now. But I didn't want to hire a lot of writers from Fiverr or whatnot, because there was kind of the writing back and forth on that style. Unless I knew exactly what I wanted, or I just wanted to go, you know what, I want to get something completely out of my zone, that just I'm never going to be able to get this thing. I started using ChatGTP for just putting in that thing. It'd be like, give me five bars, and then I'll go, okay, I want to change that and change this. Gamer girl, hashtag gamer girl was actually one that was the first one that I really utilized that for, because it was, I had the idea of this is what I wanted, and I was like, I just would throw out game ideas or like these things there, and it would bring some stuff back, and then AI has no cadence, has and no idea, would, like.
And the other thing you would go is you'd go, that is shit. I can write so much better.
Yeah.
Than that.
Oh, absolutely.
Make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, there's stuff that comes out of there that was just like, that doesn't even rhyme. Like, how are, like, whatever. I actually taught, because you can train ChatGTP, I actually ran it through a hip hop course of just like, I took like a breakdown, found a website with a breakdown of like all the different styles of hip hop. And I just took that and fed it into ChatGPT. I'm like, you're going to learn hip hop. Here's all the different styles. Here's these types of different things. And it made it a little bit better, but still not, you know, it still wasn't great. But I think for that, I would use it. And I think for music in it, for creating sounds and stuff like that, I don't think it's there for, I still want to control those sounds. Like, I might use it as prompts. There's to shout out to one of the people that we actually interviewed on my podcast is he, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he created Juke Blocks. I'll put that in the jukeblocks.io. And what it is he created a semi AI, what do you call it? Arrangement creator. And it works for Ableton, FL Studio, Reaper, a lot of them. It like it works for all of them. And it, what it does is it just says, here, pick a style of song or genre. And then you hit you pick your whatever DAW you want and you hit generate. And it will generate a like kick, clap, hats, all these different, like it'll just give you the names and then it'll give you an arrangement. No MIDI notes, no nothing, just an arrangement. And then you can take that and you open up that file and then you go put in your synths, record your, you know, record whatever, put in samples, whatever you want. But you just kind of follow this little template of there. So I like stuff like that because it helps the workflow. It's just making certain things easier, especially if you lose momentum, if you run out of ideas, but you're like, I want to work on something. I got to keep moving. It's something that I always think about is there was this guitarist that would practice 2 to 3 hours every single day, even when he was getting older. And someone asked, like, you're amazing. Like, why do you have to practice so much? And he's like, if I stop at all, my fingers will seize up, because he was getting arthritis and other things like that. And he's like, if I do not practice like 2 to 3 hours a day, my fingers start to stop and like freeze. And yep, so, thinking about that, of just like, even if I'm just doing 30 minutes, I try and do like, or, you know, whether I'm just beatboxing or like trying to write something or doing something in my head, I want to try and always keep that going. So these things help that keep that creative flow going when I get stuck. So I think there's nothing wrong with using AI and other templates and other things like that.
And when are you dropping this?
This will be on August 1st.
And where can people get it?
That will be everywhere. It'll be on all the streaming services. I finally got artist approval on TikTok now too. So everything's actually under Pandasonic now. It'll be everywhere on August 1st.